Raising equity funding is not easy for small businesses in South Africa. But thankfully, the Mine Workers Investment Company's Kulisani Ventures Initiative is an early stage funding vehicle that provides capital for businesses that are ready to aggressively grow. If you are a black-owned business in South Africa and if you meet the criteria for this investment, then listen carefully to this podcast because your application for it would need to be in by the end of January 2025. The whole thing will be wrapped up just a couple of months later, with funds expected to flow by March 2025. If that sounds interesting to you, then visit the Mine Workers Investment Company's Kulisani Ventures website for more information and to apply for investment. This podcast is brought to you by I Am an Entrepreneur and the Mine Workers Investment Company. Welcome to this episode of the Ghost Stories podcast. It is nice and late now in 2024, but business doesn't stop, and it certainly doesn't stop in South Africa, where I think there's a lot of excitement about what's going on out there. So I'm really looking forward to tapping into some of that today and bringing you a really interesting opportunity if you are a qualifying company, and we'll obviously get into some of that a little bit later. Really, really exciting stuff. So, you know, listen carefully to if this is going to be something that you can take advantage of, even this late in the year. So Nchape Kale and Kitumetse Lekaba, thank you so much for joining me. And I think let's start with just getting to know the two of you as the guests on this podcast and where you're from and the companies that you represent here today. So Kitumetse, I'm going to start with you. Give us the elevator pitch on I Am an Entrepreneur. I think the name kind of, you know, it does say a lot. It does somewhat do what it says on the tin, as the joke goes. Tell us about the type of work that you do with I Am an Entrepreneur.
Thank you very much, Ghost. My name is Kitumetse Lekaba. I am the managing director of a company called I Am an Entrepreneur, mouthful I know. But we are specialists in enterprise and supplier development programs and initiatives for entrepreneurs across South Africa. And we work with multi-corporates and nationals in implementing programs that help entrepreneurs build and grow their business. So on a day-to-day, we live, we breathe, we eat, helping entrepreneurs build and grow their businesses.
Yeah, lovely. I mean, that's a topic that is certainly very close to my heart, and it's something we need more and more of in South Africa every single year, honestly. Nchape, you've had quite the career. You've been in a number of major investment and advisory houses. You've got some board representation on some pretty big places. You are also the CIO at Mine Workers Investment Company, or MIC. And that is the focus of our chat today. So I think because we could fill a whole podcast with all the stuff you're involved in, I think we'll have to keep it a little bit focused today. And the question really is if you can just give us an overview of Mine Workers Investment Company, you know, what the backstory is, and I guess what its purpose in this world is.
Thanks, Ghost. And really a pleasure to be on the podcast with yourself and Kitumetse. So as you said, I am the Chief Investment Officer of Mine Workers Investment Company. Mine Workers Investment Company was started almost 30 years ago by the National Union of Mine Workers. The intention was to create a sustainable capital base that would be for the benefit of NUM's members and their families and the communities from which they come. So really, our operations are aimed at creating the sustainable capital base. We do it by investing in a very diverse portfolio. We have interests in a number of investments that cover quite a number of the sectors operating in South Africa. And the opportunity that we gathered here to discuss is really our early stage investing platform. We call it MIC Kulisani Ventures. And MIC Kulisani Ventures looks to support highly scalable, highly innovative Black-owned businesses with risk capital. We provide them with the growth equity they need. We're very excited to have opened this third window of application and look forward to getting applicants that are really going to blow our socks off in terms of some of the offerings and the solutions that come into market with.
Yeah, so thanks for referencing the different windows here, because you have actually done this before. And I think as we dig into more of what you're doing just now, it'll be really good to understand how this window is, you know, comparable to what you've done before, maybe a bit different. So we'll park that for now. We'll certainly get there. And I think what's clear from, you know, what the two of you are busy with every day, if you'll forgive a terrible pun in the context of Mine Workers Investment Company, you are at the coalface of what is going on in South Africa literally every day. Businesses of all sorts of sizes and shapes, trying to grow, trying to raise money, trying to make it work. And I think we are in quite an exciting time in South Africa. I mean, I am a an optimist about this place. I love living here and I get very excited about what the future holds for it. Load shedding has gone away. That definitely helps with the optimism. The Springboks can't stop winning. Even Bafana Bafana seems to be able to win these days. So it really is changing. Interest rates are dropping. It's all happening here. The winds of change are blowing in theory. In practice, though, is that something that's happening? So Kitumeta, I'm going to pose this one to you. In terms of local entrepreneurs, are you seeing an improvement in sentiment? Are people actually feeling better about this place? Are they growing? Are they investing? Are they taking risk?
I think it's certainly a refreshing time to see so many positive developments in South Africa. The winds of change, as you call it, are indeed uplifting and they carry a lot of potential for our local entrepreneurs. So let's start with the load shedding thing, right? I think now that load shedding has been reduced or no longer in a lot of areas around the country, you know, entrepreneurs can now operate more consistently, productively, and also without the burden of alternative power solutions. So this is definitely a morale booster for them. And from a Springboks winning streak perspective, I think we all know, and Bafana Bafana coming up as they have been, you know, this is it's a national booster for a lot of people. And when there's a national booster from sports, you know, people feel good, consumers have confidence, and also then entrepreneurs they often see a spike in sales, particularly ones in retail, entertainment, and possibly hospitality. I mean, interest rates slowly going down, but I think it also helps particularly those entrepreneurs that rely heavily on debt funding to run their businesses. Then they can also get a little bit of a relief from there. But I think overall, there's a lot of resilience paired with optimism, but also a lot of work still that needs to be done by entrepreneurs. A lot of challenges still that entrepreneurs are facing from a market perspective, from a global economic pressure perspective. So with all the positivity that has been going on, I think going forward, we probably need to sit and still do quite a lot of strategic work around our entrepreneurs and businesses.
Yeah, I think people underestimate the benefit of positivity. And, you know, you reference the sport and it sounds like a silly thing, but it's actually true. It absolutely is. Obviously, the load shedding is even more.
It really
you know?
Does work.
Yeah, I mean, South Africa's got a very proud history exactly. around how sport has united. You know, you just have to look back to, obviously, the country's history, clearly, and the role the Springboks have played in that, you know, post everything. And it'd be nice if the Proteas did there, but at some point as well. But, you know, sport aside, the reality is that stuff like load shedding going away really makes a big difference. And unless you're selling generators, obviously, in which case it's not a happy
it really
time
does.
For you. It's the one group of people who don't have a great story to tell this year. I think moving on to then, Chapa, from your side, from an investment perspective, these recent developments in South Africa must have also made you feel better about allocating capital here. I mean, I would imagine that Mine Workers Investment Company's mandate is very strongly South African anyway, in some respects. You know, maybe not. Maybe you have been doing some offshore stuff. It'd be fascinating if you have been. But at least with this kind of growth in front of us now and people feeling better and just improvement on the ground, I'm guessing that's helping you feel better as well about more money flowing into South African assets.
Definitely. I couldn't agree with the positive sentiment more acutely. In as much as we spoke about there being no load shedding, or I think we're at day 250 and long may it continue, and the fact that there is positive consumer sentiment, but I think an additional aspect which maybe we haven't discussed enough is that the GNU in and of itself has also created a very enabling business environment, which has made it easier for capital allocators to start considering South Africa as a safe destination for their capital and a destination where one can make the kind of returns that we're looking for. We are a predominantly South Africa-focused investment house, but we do diversify our asset base naturally, given who our constituents are and who our beneficiaries are. It is important for us to keep trying to find very innovative ways of creating a sustainable return, and that does include looking at offshore assets. But certainly South Africa continues to be, I think it accounts for easily in excess of 80% of our net asset value. And that's why South Africa is important for us. So the positive business environment that we're currently operating in, the fact that interest rates are coming down, the fact that there is policy stability finally. And, you know, in the past, we had this mistrust between government and business. And I think in many respects, the current administration has done a great deal in terms of building an even greater bridge between business and government. And hopefully all this positive sentiment will start resulting in ticking up GDP growth rates, which is what we're all after.
Yeah, absolutely. That is exactly what we are all after. And I mean, hot off the press is the results of the Boxer IPO. I was literally reading it this morning, aside from the fact that it was completely oversubscribed at the top of the range that they were looking for. And I do think they priced it a bit light. But they did also mention in that announcement that they've got a good mix of local and international interest, which is really nice to see. You know, international investors looking at a South African retail group and saying, hey, this thing looks interesting. So yeah, things do seem to be getting better. There's some debt ratings outlook improvements. Some of the banks announced that last week. So it does feel like the good news is starting to flow, which leads us, of course, very nicely into why we are doing this podcast, which is not just to talk about this country we love, but it's also to talk about this opportunity related to MIC Kulisani Ventures. So I'm going to kick that over to you, Kitumetse, and just ask you, in terms of the criteria of the Black-owned businesses you're looking for here, the types of businesses that you want to get applications from for investment from the MIC, and we'll dig into what that investment looks like and the structure and what kind of partner the MIC is and all of that shortly. But just, you know, to quickly get it out the way of who qualifies and who doesn't, what are you looking for in terms of qualifying businesses?
So from a criteria perspective, like we already said, we're looking for at least 51% Black South African owned and managed companies. We encourage Black women owned companies to also apply. And we want innovative products and service offerings, you know, disruptive within sectors with scalability. I think scalability becomes important because we want to see these businesses grow and we want to see these businesses scale. And we want them to have quite a high growth potential, which means the companies must also have post revenue with positive cash flow and strong financial reporting. Because, you know, we all know the story of business is told in numbers. So you have to validate the story with the number. So we want to see that through strong financial reporting. Obviously, compliance is non-negotiable. You know, the businesses must be compliant with statutory requirement as well as industry regulations. We want to see businesses with strong corporate governance and leadership. We always hear the saying, you know, funders back the jockey. But, you know, we want people that have strong leadership, teachable, and we can work with. And then from a sector perspective, the sectors that are excluded from the fund are fast food franchises, seed stage investment, primary agriculture. And I think for those type of businesses, they don't qualify. That's an automatic outright disqualification. But any other sector, they are more than welcome to come and apply for the funding for as long as they have the requirements that I have just listed now.
I just want to ask you something about the fast food franchises, because that's super interesting. Does it only exclude someone who wants to open a franchise, or if someone comes to you and says, hey, I have an idea for the next years, and here are the 5 restaurants running already, does that qualify, or is that sector just out for this?
I think probably existing franchising, buying a franchise, that is out. But if you come with an idea to say, you know, I have this idea, I've been running this shop for this long, this is my growth potential, this is what I'm looking at, we will look at that application. We will consider that application.
Yeah, that makes sense. So also in terms of just being a revenue generating, cash flow positive business, is there a minimum revenue number you're looking for here in terms of size?
You know, we do have a sweet spot. Obviously, depending on the type of business and the scalability and the potential of growth, we will look at revenues. Our sweet spot is 5 to 8 million rand from a revenue perspective, so revenue per annum. 5 to 8 million rand, that's the sweet spot that we are really looking for.
Okay, fantastic. That is super helpful. Thank you. So back to you, Inchaped. What form does this investment then actually take? Are you looking to take ordinary equity in the fund? Are you looking to put in some kind of supplier development loan type structure? Or yeah, just basically, what does the structure actually look like? And then based on that, what role would you seek to then play in these businesses? Is it quite a passive sort of mentorship role, or is this something where someone from the MIC is going to be on the board and actually playing a more active role?
So thanks, Ghost. The idea is for us to take up or purchase ordinary shares in the business. We look to provide growth equity. So what would be ideal would be if the companies that we are investing in issue us additional shares, and we give them an investment that can be used to fund that growth. Scalability is a very important consideration. And in order to make these businesses more scalable, they need not only access to capital, they also need access to skills and access to market. As a company, and given the fact that we have a portfolio of existing established entities that we're invested in, the likes of Tracker, Metrophile, Prime Media, FirstRand, we can give businesses access to market as well. What does that mean? We can facilitate an introduction to some of the businesses that we have an interest in for these Khulisani entities that we invest in. And through those introductions, we can help with the business or corporate development of these entities, which is very, very important. The role that we will look to play is an active role, but not an operational role. So we, as Kitumetse rightfully said earlier, we look to back teams. We look to back leaders who in and of themselves give us the comfort that we need to invest our capital in their businesses. And those teams are teams that we would back, but the role that we would play would be to take up more often than not non-executive role in terms of the board and governance structures of the entities we invest in. And notwithstanding that we would be non-executive directors in the business, we don't keep the meetings to just quarterly board meetings. So we meet very regularly with our founder teams. We look to help them with any bottlenecks they may have in terms of their businesses. We are very active in terms of the strategy development. And we also try to find innovative financing solutions to help with the growth of these businesses. So that's really been the secret to the success of Khulisani. And we hope to see it continue even with this new cohort.
And just to be clear, they need to be 51% Black owned before your investment. So your investment can't facilitate them getting to that level. I just want to be super clear on that.
That's correct. In a very exceptional circumstance, we might be in a position to consider whether our investment helps them get to being Black owned. However, the preference is to invest in 51% Black-owned businesses. And to Gitumetse's earlier point, we do encourage Black female-owned or managed businesses in particular to apply.
Okay, fantastic. And then just one more question on that before we go back to Gitumetse, is just around the percentage stake that you would typically look to have in the business. I mean, when all is said and done, you know, what sort of percentage do you actually want to own in this thing? I'm guessing it would be a minority stake. I doubt you're looking for control.
That's correct. We want to be a significant minority shareholder in the businesses. So anything between 25% to 49%. It's important to have an aligned founder team and to have them have a substantial interest in the business, and hence we wouldn't look to take up a control position.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. So it is a great opportunity. I mean, it's obviously aimed at companies in a very specific size, and it's very hard for companies like that to actually raise finance normally. So to be clear here, you know, when we say raising finance here, this is not something directly comparable to getting money from a bank, because that would come in as debt. This would come in as equity. So, you know, the MIC would be your partner. You would have to get used to Nchabe being at your board meetings potentially and coming and hanging out with you. Luckily, he brings loads of experience, and Kitumetse being involved as well, he also brings tons of experience. So it's only good stuff here. But just to understand what this is an equity investment. This is not going and raising debt from the MIC instead of a bank. So I think we're all clear on that. And hopefully those listening to the podcast understand that properly. So Kitumetse, back to you, just in terms of companies that do meet the criteria here and are keen to throw their hat in the ring. You've already mentioned some of the criteria there, compliance, et cetera, some of the sectors that are out, which is great. But what does the process actually look like to reach out and apply? You know, do they need to have a polished PowerPoint presentation, or is it a little bit less formal than that?
In the beginning, it is a little bit less formal than that. So we do go through an online application platform where it is thorough, but it's still accessible. So initially, we want you to submit a high-level overview of your business, including what you do, what your revenues are looking like. And then, so that's stage one. And then based on what has been submitted in stage one of the application, we would then move you to stage two, where you give us quite a comprehensive overview of business model. And we go deeper into the questions that were addressed in phase one, because what we don't want, we also don't want to waste entrepreneurs' time. If you don't initially qualify, then we don't want you to go through the process of giving the comprehensive application on our platform. So, and that's why we have the two phases. So from phase one, we qualifying entrepreneurs, we move into phase two, where you give us the comprehensive answers. And then from phase two, we would then do quite a detailed due diligence on their business, which could even include a site visit to your organization, as well as interviews with the owners of the company. And once we've gone through stage two, together between I'm an Entrepreneur and Mick, we would then choose the entrepreneurs and the businesses that go into the last phase of the application process, which is the pitch deck and actually pitching your business to the investment committee. So once you have passed phase two selected, you would then go through to presenting your business to investment committee. But I mean, we're here to help entrepreneurs build and grow their business. So we will help you through with your pitch deck and making sure that you have the right information and you have covered the understanding of your business, the market, your plan to grow, so that you don't get disadvantaged because you don't know how to put together a pitch deck. So we'll take you through that process. We'll help you through putting together your pitch deck. You obviously know your business, and then together we can then make sure that your pitch deck is ready and your presentation is ready for investment committee. And it would essentially be the entrepreneur or the founder's responsibility to present the business to investment committee, from which Mick and I'm an Entrepreneur and the investment committee members would make the decision of investment or non-investment.
Sounds like a super interesting process, and one where founders will also learn a lot along the way. So that really does sound good. There's a solid amount of support there through the process, because raising money is not easy. And my background is in investment banking and corporate finance. So I've been there, done that, and got all the t-shirts and the scars for much larger numbers than these. But the process is still the process. It actually almost doesn't matter how big the check is at the end of the day. You've got to go through this long process. So I think last question, maybe to help the applicants, you know, maybe win some favor here from Chapi's team. What is the main thing you are looking for? And maybe this is a good opportunity to ask you if anything's different to some of the other windows that you've had, you know, for investment by this fund. You know, what have you learned from that? What's different now? What's going to stand out for you and win you over?
Well, let's go back to the sports analogy, right? We spoke about how winning teams inspire confidence, and really that's what we're looking for. Being black owned is a ticket to the game, but now that you're in the game, you need to show us what makes you the Rassi Erasmus of your industry or the Siya Kolisi of your industry. So we're looking for teams that can demonstrate that they have an edge in terms of the market that they serve. We're looking for innovation in how they look to address the opportunity set that they have before them. And we're not looking for businesses that are necessarily perfect or have everything figured out. We're happy to walk this journey with our investee companies, because we will be your partner. However, it's important to give us a sense that you do understand the industry inside out. You have a team that can definitely take advantage of the opportunity that's been presented, and you are aware what is missing to really have this business take off. So that is what we're looking for: innovation, scalability, the ability to, you know, work with an institutional equity partner like ourselves to create value. And any team that brings that to bear will definitely find favor in terms of this process. To answer your other question around what is different this time around and what we've learned, It's great that this is the third iteration in terms of our application window, because we do have key learnings from the past two cohorts, which we can apply this time around. One of them is that scale is important. So the sweet spot that Kitumetsu spoke about earlier is a very important consideration. Entrepreneurs shouldn't feel anxious about the fact that this is an investment vehicle that looks at businesses that are post-revenue. It's important that before you convince us to invest in your business, you must have convinced someone to buy your product or services. It's a very important equation. Having strong, or a member of the team with strong financial skills, is something we've learned is equally important, because if you are to be taking on capital in the range of between 15 million to 30 million rand, then it is important that someone in that team can be accountable, does understand how to budget, how to forecast there accordingly, and if there's a need to pivot, what the implications of those pivots would be. And lastly, I keep speaking about teams, because one thing we've learned is, in as much as it's good to back a good founder, it's even better to back a team of founders, because it does take, not too different to even the Bafana Bafana analogy that we used earlier, it does take a team to get over the winning line, and that's what we're looking to back.
Perfect. I think that's great. And I'm just on the website now, so for those who do want to go and get their application in, it's kulisani.mic.co.za. So go and check it out. It's got all of the criteria on there. It's got the application form. It's got the whole story. And I think to bring the podcast to a close, Kitumetsu, I'm just going to ask you the most important question, perhaps, is what is the closing date for these applications? So, I mean, it's quite late in the day now in 2024. So people need to listen to this, get excited, do some thinking over the December holiday. If entrepreneurs take a holiday, people who are raising money at this end of the market and hustling like that are probably not taking a spectacular holiday, in my own experience. But assuming they do or they don't, when do they need to be ready to actually get their applications in? And then when would this money actually be invested? When is the whole process done?
The application window started on the 18th of November 2024 and closes on the 31st of January 2025. So entrepreneurs still have the whole of December and January to put in their application. And ideally, we will be done with the process 31 March 2025.
Perfect. So that is nice and quick.
So from a date perspective, so nice and quick. You know, sometimes entrepreneurs, you don't have to wait 6 months, 12 months for things to start happening. We are looking at those timelines. So you just have to make sure that your application is in by 31st January 2025.
Excellent. Kitumetsu and Chape, thank you so much. It's been lovely to get to know both of you. And good luck with this. And to the listeners, if this is something that grabs you, or if you know a business that you think this is relevant to, forward the podcast, send it on. Let's get the word out there. It's not every day that money is available for South African businesses, so don't waste that opportunity. If you meet the criteria, if you have a plan for the capital and you want to go through the motions here, I mean, to be quite honest, it sounds like it's such a good process to go through, that even if you don't get the money at the end, you're going to learn a lot. You're going to get to meet some really good people, go through this investor process, a little bit of Dragon's Den vibes, but with a lot more hand holding and support, which I think is really good. So thank you to my guests today. Good luck to those who are planning to apply for the funding, and yeah, go out there and make things happen. So Kitumetsu, Chape, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Ghost.
Thanks for having us, Ghost. Much appreciated.